The Lord is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 2. Let's start from verse 2. When it says, there's no one holy like the Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there's no one besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry ceased to hunger. For she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He breaks down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. It's a beautiful day. Every day with you, Lord, is beautiful, actually. Thank you for calling us to learn from you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Thank you for preparing wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for us. Our hearts are open to receive these things this morning. From the bottom of our hearts, we say, thank you. There's a scripture we keep quoting, talking about the Gentiles. He said, they are hopelessly confused. People don't know what that means, so. Father, thank you for delivering us from confusion.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. For delivering us from confusion. Hopeless confusion. Because in your light, we see light.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because we have come to drink of your spirit this morning, we declare as follows. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's sit down. Once again, good morning. Okay, I'm trying to decide whether I should. I have a funny title here for what I want to share today. But I won't give it. I may get a better one as we are going on. All right? So, I want us to start from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I saw something on the Pastor Chisholm's deep status a few days ago. She made this statement. I don't know whether she was the media. She's quoting somebody, but saw it on her listing. It says, following Christ is not a once-in-a-lifetime decision, but an everyday choice. Sounds simple, right? But I think it's very profound. Let me read it again. It says, following Christ is not a once-in-a-lifetime decision, but an everyday choice. That's a very nice place for me to start what I'm teaching this morning. All right? I said we should open somewhere, right?
Yes.
Where is it? Second Chronicles chapter 16. It's a story that is very well known, of course, in the Bible. Or maybe we should back up briefly, sorry. Let's get to chapter 15. We will start from 15. Now, don't open your Bibles. I will just refer to this. In verse 14, in chapter 14, Abijah slept with his fathers and they buried him. I didn't tell you the verse because I don't want you to go there. All right. And they buried him in the city of David. And his son Asa became king in his place. Now the land was undisturbed for 10 years during his days. Now verse 2. I've told you where. And Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. For he removed the foreign altars and high places, tore down the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. He built 45 cities in Judah since the land was undisturbed and there was no one at war with him during those years because the Lord had given him rest. Now, if you go down, you will hear of how he built cities, towers, gates. Now, he said something. He said, the land is still ours. Now, please, I want you to listen to this carefully. That's in, well, you know where it is now, so you may also follow me, verse 7. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he has given us rest on every side. Did you notice that? We have sought him and as a consequence, what did he do? He gave us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Asa had a great army and all of that. Now there was a time the Ethiopian Zerah came out against them with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. Asa went out to meet him and they drew up in battle formation. Verse 11, then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you and your name have come against this multitude. Say, O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. In verse 12, the Bible says, so the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. The Bible says that they beat them so badly they could not recover, and they carried away much plunder. Now in In chapter 15, the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. The Lord is not with you, whatever you like, you do. Which is what, you know, we keep on saying it so that we'll understand. Christianity has demands. Righteousness has its rules. Grace has its own commandments. I hope you are getting my point. We were discussing yesterday on the radio Bible class that when the Lord delivers you from yoke, he puts you under another yoke. He just says, my yoke is what? Easy. He puts you under another burden, but he says, my burden is light. It is not yokeless, it is not burdenless. You have a responsibility or you have responsibilities to perform being a Christian. Don't forget it. Christianity is not a license for anyhow living. Grace doesn't cover every rubbish you like to do. What mercy does for you is correct you. Grace is only released when you have obeyed the word of correction. There's a difference between mercy and grace. Grace only follows obedience. Grace does not come when there is disobedience.
Grace is the rule of obedience.
I hope you are following my point. Yes, that's what grace is. But mercy is when you are ignorant or when you are contrite, when you're sorry, you've done something wrong, and then God spares you of judgment. Or when you don't even say sorry because you don't even know what you are doing is wrong, then it suspends judgment. That is called mercy. But let me say this again. Never does he bless disobedience. Never. Whether you are ignorant or you are deliberate, he does not ever bless disobedience. This man has been my David. Anyway, I've been talking about him a lot in this area, David. I like to use David because if you read through the scriptures, David was immensely blessed. He was. David was immensely blessed. He even had many children. That's part of his blessing. Plenty children. Well, let's just count it. He had many wives, if you want to say that's part of his blessing. But he had everything. He had money. He had peace. I never heard before the time he became old that David was sick one day. Sick for what now? The man was healthy all the time. Very rich. Had favor. Massively. But you see, when it came to home life, when it came to the marriage life, all right? When it came to running a family, he didn't have understanding. Whether he rejected it, I don't know. But one thing is that he didn't have it. And because he didn't have it, he did not obey it. And because he did not obey it, he wasn't blessed. So you get to a household of my father. His children were an embarrassment. If it's today, a pastor has children like that, talk in church. And just by the way, Paul was emphatic about it to Timothy and Titus. Before you make a man a leader in the church, check how his children are behaving. Check how they are behaving. You know what that tells me? He said, take heed to yourselves. So, if you're a pastor, sit your children down and train them well that you will not end my ministry. It's very important. David didn't have that, too. That's what I'm saying. That's my message. Why did he not have it? It was ignorance. I believe very strongly that he learned from his experience, but was kind of late. Because he tried his best to instruct Solomon. In fact, Bollinger believes that he gathered the elders to help train the boy. They gave him lectures as much as possible because he had learned. Every son he raised before Solomon, a man that had 6 sons before he moved to Jerusalem, would you know how many they gave birth to for him after that? Every single one he raised, none was worthy of being king after him. Until Solomon was born. Why? Ignorance. Why? Disobedience. Do you follow my point? God never blesses disobedience. That's what they call grace. Grace will give you what is right to do. Grace will not bless you despite not doing what is right. Spiritual principles now. And sometimes physical. That is, rules to obey. What grace will do is to teach you what is right to do. That's why David said, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You have to be instructed in what is called the fear of God. When God wants to bless you, grace will come out and talk to you. Don't speak like that. Don't behave like that. Arrange your life like this. Make your corrections here. Experiences in life will teach you. God uses the experiences. He's the one that will use the experience. Those things will teach you. God speaking through them. Some of them are very harsh. Usually when you don't listen early enough. That's what grace does. Grace keeps on, and you know, there's something I teach once in a while. Grace, when grace wants to help you, he can take you back to 15 years ago and have you remember something and have you repent of it today. Now, the thing has passed. In fact, it happened when you were in Mozambique. Now you're in Nigeria. He said, go back in your mind. He will play it again for you. You will lie down, just be meditating. And they will say, okay, now, what are you now going to do now? He said, if this happened now, I wouldn't do this. Oh, this is what I would do. Hey, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, then I did not know. God said, fine, that's what I just wanted you to say, you know, that yes, just acknowledge your iniquity. Just say, yeah. Because by that, you know, let me say this. The Lord is good, amen? He's not so concerned about the past. He's concerned about the now and the future. Do you get what I'm saying? So, that's why he can forgive. Okay, you killed Stephen. All right, fine. It's all right. You were fighting me. Fine. So, from now on, what are you going to do? You're going to preach my gospel. Hey, forget it. What about the things that I ruined? What about the things they ruined? God said, that is my own duty. I fixed that. Don't worry about it. That's why this title is not shared. I'm God, you are not. To fix the things that have gone past, my job, not yours. And don't try. Otherwise, I might enjoy. First, you will get injured in the process. You are trying to tackle what is beyond you. And I might get angry and injure you. So, go on ahead. Continue to follow me from today. But he will make you go back, like I was saying, not because of the past itself, but because he's making you into somebody who will behave differently going forward. Do you understand? So what grace does is to correct. What grace does is to train. Grace does not bring a blessing on disobedience. Because I keep on hearing people preach that nonsense. It's not because of you, it's because of Christ. So? If I send a tanker to your house to come and give you water, dry season in our city here, pipe one water doesn't get to most parts of the city, you know that. So when it's dry, during the dry season, we have to use, you know, trucks, water trucks to come and deliver water. Assuming I sent water to your house, the man gets there. Was that because of you? No, it's because of me. It's not because of you. Are you getting my point? And the man wants to dispense water. Now you give me a big basket, 10,000 liter capacity basket, that's meant to store grain. So that's the one I have. It's not because of me, hallelujah. This water is because of him. Oh, so the tanker driver said, there's no problem. This is your grain stack, all right? Whatever we're supposed to put grain inside. Inside is water, and it's made of baskets, woven. And he puts the hose there now. Empties his 10,000 liters of water. So it's not because of you, it's because of him. I'm going my way. Will you have water in the next 2 hours? Your compound will be flooded, quite all right. If you want to swim, you may be able to swim. But there will be no water for doing legitimate things. Like cooking, drinking, having a bath, stuff like that. Why? Because you said, it's not my works, it's what he did. God said, I know. That's why I'm the one that paid the tanker driver. I'm the one that gave him a description to your house. But for goodness sake, I expected you have enough sense to gather vessels. Like Elisha said, borrow not a few. Should have gotten ready. You should see the way, I hope this is not embarrassing internationally. You know, my house will be prepared when you order one of those tankers during the dry season. One day my son forgot one bucket in my room. I asked him what was wrong with him. Because you know I paid. Every drop must have. Even the spoons are not in use. You balance them like this. Put the water inside. You paid for the whole truck. You know those guys? They're going to discharge it on the road if you don't take everything. Yeah, they can't sell the rest of it. Boy, workers will appear from nowhere. The point I'm making is that you prepare for that blessing. You prepare to receive it. In fact, this one we have been quoting. Borrow not a few. That's King James' expression. When that widow came to Elisha and said, my husband was one of the sons of the prophets. Now he's gone.
He was owing money. The creditor has come to take two of my sons as slaves until his money is paid. So you help me. Elisha said, what do you have in your house? He said, I have just this jar of oil. So all right, let's multiply the oil. The point I'm making is that he told the woman, go and get vessels. If that woman really believes, she'll have come to this generation, borrowed a number of GP tanks, and gone back. Do you follow what I'm saying? The amount of blessing she got was decided by the amount of preparation she made. Do you get my point? That's why the prophet warned her. Don't borrow small. He said, borrow not a few. Make sure what you borrow, all right, won't be few. Plenty. I don't know how big her house was. She was supposed to fill every corner of that house with containers and then start pouring the oil. Was she the one that labored for the oil? But she had to put in her labor. Where? Borrowing. That going around borrowing is one job she had to do. Borrowing vessels. She had to go around doing that. It was not her own labor, but there was something to contribute. Grace is always like that. Oh, and I use the word always. Grace will always give you something to do. It may appear small, but it's necessary. Mercy is the one that covers your back when you don't know what's going on. When you think you are doing right, meanwhile you're wrong. Mercy just says, leave him. His ignorance that's worrying him. But mercy or no mercy, there's no blessing. No. Just to cover and suspend judgment. Cover you, suspend judgment until the time understanding will come to you. And when God wants to move you to another level, he sends you understanding. When he wants to move you to another level, he sends you teaching, training. Now, let me quickly add this again. See, you can't hide behind ignorance for a long time. Or let me say, you can't hide behind ignorance forever. A cutoff point has been set for your enlightenment. Are you getting my point? Your friend will invite you to church. Your friend will invite you for a program. Your friend will give you a book. This is internet everywhere, smart devices everywhere. YouTube will give you something to watch. God will set you up that you must hear the truth. Now, listen. If you disregard the truth, if you suddenly decide, and God, see, this is what the Lord does. You know, they are playing World Cup right now. So God will say, okay, this is World Cup, all right? It's going on. And he will, listen to this. He will put a teaching program, a program in your church, at the same time as when your country, or okay, those who, your country is not there, when Mexico is playing. Those who know, you know who we're talking about. Those who don't know, forget about it. That is the very time. Church program is 5 o'clock. Kickoff is 5:06. You know, it's a setup. It's a setup. God is saying, this is the day of your deliverance. This is the day of moving you to another level. I have kept you all this while with mercy. This is the time to move you to another level. And this is where I have set your deliverance. Somebody is going to teach you. You are going to hear words by which you will be saved. That's the rule in scripture. To Cornelius, he will give to you what? Words by which you will be saved. Words are given for salvation. See, anytime they want to give words, see, I have brethren who like to pray for 90 days nonstop. The Lord will bless them. Amen. Do you know what? That's not the key to salvation. I'm being honest with you. If they give you a choice, sit down and pray 90 days, 100 days, 120 days nonstop. And sit down and hear the word 100 days nonstop. Choose the word hearing. That is one that when you wake up next morning, you will pray for 5 minutes. It will have the effect of having shouted for an hour. Let me tell you something about prayer.
There are two sides of prayer that many of us miss. We misunderstand. There's the one, God help us. That is correct, amen? But the second side in which God says, stop shouting. Go and divide the Red Sea. Yeah. Moses came. God said, why are you shouting to me? Why are you crying to me? What's that in your hand? You go ahead and divide the sea. So there's a point in which you earn authority. That's the point I'm making. You now say to the mountain, you're not talking to God anymore. God has given you authority. It's called a white stone and the name written on it. In life, that's one thing you have to pray to get. And like I said, you get those things. That's where I'm going. Not from noise making or praying for so long. It's from having heard words by which you will be saved. Because when you obey the words, grace is now poured upon your lips. Do you get my point? Yeah. It's poured upon your lips. So you now say to the mountain, move. The mountain will shift. That's the way it works. A lot of things we are crying about. God said, well, there was a time to cry about it. Usually, it's a time of change, time of repentance, time of knowing what is right to do. Then when you have obeyed the words of grace, then grace is poured upon your lips. They will now speak to the mountain. Shift. The mountain will get up. What am I saying? Always go for that word of grace. Always. And I've said this before. Don't ever make a mistake of telling God. Of course, you're telling your friend. I will watch the... You know, these days, most of us ministry now, as we are preaching, somebody is throwing it for, what's the guy's name? YouTube. Internet, yes. YouTube is throwing it for us. The other one we are saying now. YouTube servers, streaming it live, and you can watch it 10 years later, it's still there, if you don't take it down. The mistake you will make is say to your friend, don't worry, I will watch the message on YouTube after the match. Let me tell you what God will do. He will seal your heart of understanding. You watch the whole thing, though, you won't get anything out of it. See, let me explain. Understanding is a gift. It's not the ability to decode English language, whichever language you preach the message in. To connect dots in the words that were spoken is only the Holy Spirit. So you can, that's why theologians study this book. And they don't understand, that is, let me explain. They are theologians. They end their living reading the Bible. Let me ask you a simple question. Who understood the scriptures more? Peter or the Pharisees? How do you know he was a fisherman? Those Pharisees did nothing but recite those scriptures, memorize them. Yeah, they killed Jesus Christ, the Messiah they were looking for inside. They took him when they found him and killed him. I hope I get my point. These things are, you see, it's if God opens your eyes, that's when you'll understand. And for him to open your eyes, he has to see that, listen to this, it is important to you. Once you tell the Lord that a match, which is pure entertainment as far as you are concerned, you're not earning anything. You're not even going to sit down in a DSTV studio, Super Sport, to be analyzing the match after. You just sit down in the house and, why did he pass? You know those who can't jog are the ones that tell the keeper is crazy for losing, for conceding a goal. They can't jog. You never see them around our Opera Square. Yeah, when they analyze what that, I'm not talking about playing football, to just jog. And you know jogging is an aimless project. You know, I hope you don't mind me saying this aimless, because you know, you're just going. You don't even know where you're going, you just be going. But the footballer knows where the net is, he's calculated, he knows what he wants to do. So the person who cannot even go on aimless walk, he's sitting down there analyzing why that defender is an idiot. A man that made it to walk up is one you're insulting like this. And you have not made it to Opera Square. That is not by contest, just by getting up and wearing your shoes. That's how human beings are. Small aside. Same thing, those of you criticize government. You've never run for councillor in your neighborhood. You're telling the senator that he's not normal. You were in school, student union. You did not even vote in student union election. Now you are there, business people in House of Reps, that they overpaid. You. That they are paying you anything at all for doing nothing. Is that not the grace of the mercy of God? Not grace. Mercy of God. So just pause it. I have a guy here. Every time he sits down, he has never said anything positive by any government I'm aware of, local, state, or federal. And he's always talking. The other day, there was one very terrible thing that happened in the country. It was in the newspapers. I said, this guy will have shared it. I went there, he has shared it. If anything good happens, you never see him share it. Never. Him? For what now? Ah, my name is CNN, Calamity News Network. Why am I supposed to share anything good? Good is for those who bear the gospel. How blessed on the mountain, how beautiful on the mountains, at the feet of those who bear glad tidings, thank you. News of great joy. No, not him. Yet, every time, this governor is useless, this governor is stupid, this one, the president, abuse, that is every single one. Guess what? He doesn't vote. So I don't have time to waste for votes that will not count. I said, that's it. That's the story you keep telling. To get off from his house, walk across the polling station, and cast a vote. It's too much work. Please, by the way, some of you listen to me. You should be too old for some things. This guy is older than me. Maybe not by much. Maybe a year, maximum two. I think I have passed the age of sitting down with children or even my mates. I'm like, these senators, this... No, I kind of feel like I'm beyond that now. Let me leave that to boys who are in university who don't know what life is about. Somebody has paid their school fees till now. So let's leave it for them. Like I said, that's a small aside. Those of you who like to criticize government, that's what your problem is. You have never governed anything. You've never governed anything. Like somebody says, start a WhatsApp group and give rules there. And know how difficult it is for human beings to govern. Someone said that long ago. He said, start a WhatsApp group, put rules, put people, and watch them. Then you know how hard it is to govern a country. WhatsApp group, maybe you manage 100 people. Tell them, don't post nonsense. They wake up in the morning, post rubbish for you. They say, this is a professional group. Please, everything has to be aligned, must be in line with the work we do. Somebody, the one that used to annoy you, now put you on AI voice that telling lies. And they saw a monkey chained to a human being. What's going on in this country? They'll post it into a group of engineers. If it's even a group of biologists now, we'll understand. Zoologists. First, you saw a monkey chained to a human being in the dark of the night and you were there. And your camera was ready. Oh, okay, CCTV. You now post it to a group of engineers. And the same person who cannot govern a WhatsApp group is telling you that somebody cannot govern a country. Go and govern something first. Sometimes when I see dictators lock dissidents up, I don't blame them. There's one particular guy in Nigeria. Have they locked him up? He refused to appear for his court hearing last week. That guy should be put somewhere. I get angry with those who keep their families abroad and criticizing Nigeria. Come on, put your wife in Okunano. Put your children in school there. Then let's be running this country together. You can't export everybody, keep them abroad. You're now mounting protests. It will affect your family. That's why earlier this year, China went through their whole government structure. Anybody that has family abroad, they sacked them. They didn't say you can't have your family abroad, but you can't work for the government in China. Every single person. Your children are going to school abroad, your wife lives abroad, they sacked you. They're not angry with you. But they said, see, your loyalty is not here. You are not concerned about what goes on around. Your mind is scripture, where a man's treasure is. That's where his heart will be. And there's no greater treasure in a man's life than his wife and his children. Now, I've said many things. Let's try and go back to what we're saying. Football. You know, that's where we went from here. You see, all you are getting from that foot match, is excitement that will add nothing to your destiny, will not help you obey God, will not help you run your household well, will not bring productivity to your business. Yet, you choose that excitement above the delivery of the word of God. God says, whatever inside is inside that those messages is closed to you. It's closed. I close it. Listen to that message 10 times, you ain't getting nothing. And I can assure you of one thing. The way inside comes, this has happened to me many times, maybe because of my own gifts, my anointing and all of that. Many times, I enter a church, it's happened to me. It hasn't happened much in recent times, well, because most churches that I'm attending, I'm the one preaching these days, okay? But I just enter a service, I sit down. They're about to call up the preacher. Suddenly, one understanding comes to me. I take my pen, I want to quickly write it down or scribble, type it into my device. Then the preacher comes up, and that is his message for the day. It used to happen to me a lot. I'm sitting down, they want to introduce the preacher, I'm not the one preaching. You know, that tells me something. There's a spirit that's already there. Yes. That's what the spirit wants to impart. And I happen to have caught it early. So I just think I'm the one meditating. No, that's the spirit the man brought for the day. I sit down there, I drink of that spirit, it suddenly gives me clear insight. And the man gets up to speak, I say, Abba, exactly what the spirit is saying. That's what I heard. I heard it early. Are you getting my point? It's not intellectual rigor. It's an impartation of the spirit. So when you say to God, it's not important, he shuts it. He closes the door. Always prioritize where the word is coming forth from. That's what I'm saying. Entertainment can wait. People say, I'll watch it later. God said, why didn't you watch the match later? And the one said, no, by that time you will know this course. So? Do you know the matches, they play them every day. Sepp Blatter tried to change World Cup to every 2 years. During his reign as FIFA president, he tried to make World Cup every 2 years. I said, why? So that we won't do anything again with our lives. And yet people want to, they live where the word is being preached to go and watch the match. One day a man asked me, so like, how am I doing it? What am I doing about El Clasico? I like, what is that? Like, that was my first time of hearing El Clasico. He was shocked. It was my neighbor. You are not watching El Clasico? Like, what is that? I didn't know the whole nation had arranged themselves for where they would be that night. So he wanted to know, where you go day? Are you coming over to my side? Let's watch El Clasico. I said, no. When he said, I kind of thought it was maybe like a, this. No, not device. Movie. All those moves, like Zorro, Mask of Zorro, those kind of thing. Those ones that had this Mexican, and so on. I saw El Clasico. I thought it was a movie. It was not telling me that somebody's, one match is playing, one team is playing another team. That was when I saw the fever everywhere. I said, no, I want to go and pray. That is good. I'm just saying, see, when deliverance wants to come, can I talk about Satan a bit? That is what Satan does. He will offer you a distraction. When deliverance wants to come, he will offer you a distraction. Sometimes a good thing, in quote, he wants to distract you with is business partners, investors that are arriving at the time the world is supposed to move. You need the discipline to tell them, guys, I will not be available until so and so time. Why? I will be in church. My phone will be off. And sometimes when they give a subtle threat at such times, I know we will not be able to, giving the impression that you will lose it too. Let them know you are ready to lose it.
Yeah.
Say, sorry, I know, at such times, at that particular time, no. This program, this particular man is coming to preach. It's going to be explaining something. I will not be able to see you guys. I'm sorry. They're investing in your business, though. You apologize profusely. And my phone will be off. But we should be done in church by 7:30. Where's your hotel? I'll come and see you then. It's not them you are talking to. It's God. You are telling him, no, this is important. You are just telling him, this is important. That's all. Because when deliverance wants to come, please, let me say it again. God sends a word. That's where salvation, he said, he will tell you words by which you'll be saved. He sent his word and healed them. He used that word to deliver them from their destructions. I was saying, he has set a time by which you must know something. Please let me say this again. Ignorance is not an excuse forever. A time comes, you must have light. Mercy is not on an issue. Mercy is not forever. There's a time it must be converted to grace. Now, to the difference between grace and mercy. Mercy is you don't know, or you don't know enough to obey. So essentially, you are in disobedience. You are in, pardon me to use the word, you are in sin. Sin doesn't mean I'm angry with you, that is God is not, no. Just means you are not doing what is right for you to do. You are missing the mark on that matter. You haven't gotten there. Mercy keeps you. But when God wants to multiply you, he has to convert that mercy to grace. And how does he do it? He gives a word for you to obey. And that's what I'm saying. You have a limited time. And this is every day we are making choices. And that's what I want to talk about. Every day we are making choices, telling God, am I going forward or am I going backwards? God said, I set before you life and death. Now, he didn't say life was free. What is life? If you obey these words. A lot of us like to do, I choose life, I choose life, I choose life, I choose life. Choose life is no, like say, no be mouth. Please, in case you don't speak our version of English, go and learn it anyway. It's not, when we say no be mouth, what is the correct one in English? It's not by words alone, all right? You know, you don't speak words alone. It's not just verbal affirmation, you know what I'm saying? So complicated. No be mouth. See how easy that one is. He said, how do you choose life? You choose to obey these words I'm giving you today. How do you choose death? It's simple. You choose to disobey these words I'm giving you today. There's no other thing. You can't just say, I choose life. Then you disobey the words. Many times, what you are choosing to obey, now this is a problem for a lot of people, tells you and tells everybody else you were wrong. I don't know whether you hear what I said. No. Sometimes what God is saying, you should obey. A major problem with preachers. That thing essentially says that you have been wrong all this while on an issue. And that's where a lot of people miss it. They refuse. They know what is right to do, but what are you trying to say? I should say I was wrong. So they rather persist in what is false because of pride. One of the greatest sins in this life is pride. I'm telling you, one of the greatest sins in this life is pride. When grace wants to lift, that is, God is lifting and it's by grace, he always sends a word to obey. Sometimes it might be subtle, it's small, it's not a big thing. Sometimes it's counterintuitive. I mean, it's just against what an average, reasonable person should do. But God said, that's what I want you to do. I'll give an example. Again, David. God said, I will make you, I've anointed you king. I will lift you to the throne. Good. So which word do I obey? Don't ever arrange with anybody to kill Saul. That's all. Now go about your life. It's a simple word, right? Except that Saul is now chasing you around. Except that Saul is now chasing you about. And a number of times, he cocked his gun and shot at you and missed you. Missed you narrowly. Even collected part of your ear. Donald Trump style. And then God now gives you a gun and you corner him alone in the place, you and your guys. And he's sleeping. And you have a silencer. You kill this man, it's over. But you have to obey the word given to you by Samuel. And then Satan has a way of jumping into people around you. You can jump into your pastor. Pastor, I'm sorry, it's a fact. I may be the pastor I'm talking about, really. Satan can use anybody. Doesn't mean the person is wicked. Only means the person loves you. Yeah, what do you mean? Was Peter being wicked to Jesus Christ? Just say this bad thing will not happen to you. Was Mary wicked to the son Jesus? Yes, he joined those who came to pull him out of ministry. They say he was beside himself. He had gone crazy. And the relatives came, gathered her to come and call him to come out. And he refused to answer her. Satan uses, number one person he uses is the people that you love. The people that love you. They're the ones that will sit you down and say, the way this country is going. Remember the man that was advising you? You had been a very good person to him. You were treating him. He was ill. And you know, there's one thing about physiotherapists. Patients tend to love them more than their medical doctors. Do you know why? The physiotherapy will touch you. He will, you know, medical, just write prescription and walk away. Joker. This person will tell you, turn your back. By the time he's done, your lungs are clear. He tells you what to do. He's the one that will visit you. So it makes sense that the person will love you. And he was not advising this man, what are you still doing here? He now, you know, what a faith man, believes God. He now said to the man that, sir, all my colleagues have gone. If I leave now, who will treat you? Say, let me die. Is that not what he said? The man loved him so much. He said, leave me. Let me die. Let us all die. You go and take care of yourself. No, he was trying to speak. he thought the man would understand when I and the man said, leave me, let me die. You just go. That's how Satan talks. Satan is so concerned about you. Yeah, Peter, that's what happened. That's the person he will use. He's not, come on. Let me tell you, those who want to destroy Christianity, let me tell you, stop bringing gun and telling them to deny the Lord. You know what, if you are, sorry, just please, can you show this message to terrorists and those who want to kill Christianity? Let me just tell you how to do it. Dear Lord, though, please, I'm begging you. I'm not on their side. I'm just trying to explain them that they are wasting their time. If you start threatening and destroying buildings and shooting, what you just do is that you remove the fake Christians. Yeah. Yes, sir. The ones remaining are hardened. They are the ones that when they put one knee down, it's as if 100 people are praying. Those ones, when you gather against them, you'll blink like this. Five angels will all kill only you. That is, now, normally one angel is enough to kill 100,000 of you. But because that man blink one way. So when you try to threaten them, you leave that small group of dangerous people. So if you are wise, know what you do. You don't leave them. You give them land to build. You give them money. You give them food. The NASA say, no, it's not everything you resist. It's prayer. There are times you have money to resist. It's working. They say, if you don't have money, you don't have a voice. Then give them more money. That is how you kill a church. You see, Threatening them is nothing. It's nothing. You want to kill a church? Give them ease. Give them comfort. Give them prosperity. Don't let them lack. Ah, what should they lack? And then just wake up in the morning, just see account balance, 1 billion. You start money, you know, God calls people, money calls people. They start opening branches, God did not send them. They start building, they start competing with each other. Say, I went to this church the other day, can you believe? The auditorium is finer than now. What are we doing here? And we say, we are praying the gospel. They, bam! They start redesign. They start redesign. Yes. Satan will say, yes. This thing is working. If Satan, I'm just advising you. If you mistake, listen, you cannot persecute the church into extinction. Never. No, you can't persecute them into extinction. I mean, you are forcing these men to pray. I mean, when they get on their knees, come on, your Father, we show up. One of the saints said, look, we have power. We can, there are things, you know. They start speaking for mammon. They come to church, 10 keys on financial prosperity. Number one, know your customer. They finish, they don't preach the gospel again. And everybody will be, you know, the Bible says it's like this. It said they are filled with influences from the east. Their land is now full of idols. And their land is full of gold and silver. They go together. Eastern influences, idols, gold and silver. I hope you're getting my point. That's how Satan works. Always offering what? Distractions. That's the one that really works. Offering distractions. So when grace wants to lift, it gives a word to obey. And that word, like I said, may not be, it's not the way everybody would have done things. Your life is at risk. Shoot the king. Shoot the Saul. But the word that God gave to David through Samuel was, you shall not touch the Lord's anointed. Otherwise, you will not be guiltless. Then you start obeying that. You start obeying it. That is how grace lifts people up. It gives them something to obey. Please, don't forget that. That is how grace lifts people up. It gives them a word to obey. We stop reading somewhere, right? We're going to chapter 6 and 16. But I was somewhere. Yeah, I was in chapter 15. He said, the Lord, that's verse, which verse is that? 2, I think. Yeah. He said, the Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. Now, finding him is something he lets. That's what I was saying earlier. If you seek him, he will let you find him. And he said, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Grace, those who teach that God can never, I heard a man say, God said, I will never, never forsake you. Again, I keep saying, when the word of God is speaking, just know who he's speaking to. If you shall say to this mountain, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. You shall have what to say. He wasn't talking to Pharisees. Yeah, it was disciples. He wasn't talking to Pharisees. He knew he was talking to. People had been following, listening to him. Disobedient people want to now say to which mountain? The more they say to the mountain, the more the mountain is planted. Say, but the Bible says, God said, hey, I wasn't talking to you. So mind your business. Stop eavesdropping. Somebody's talking to somebody who's not you, and then you are like you are talking to yourself. Yeah, they're talking to you. Like one guy, one joke, one movie we watched not years ago, more than 30 years ago. That movie was based upon one guy who was looking for Moses. They were both shepherds. He came to look for Moses. And as he was looking for Moses, the Lord was talking to Moses. He now kept quiet. He closed his eyes. He said, you will deliver my people. He said, amen. Do you get it? Well, the Lord was talking to Moses. He was overhearing the conversation. So he gathered himself and went to Egypt. It was a comedy. It was a comedy. The Lord wasn't talking to him. The Lord was talking to Moses. He overheard. And that's what a lot of people do. They open the Bible. When God said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. He assumes you are following him. So he's giving you assurance. People will disobey the Lord and say, the Lord said, he'll never leave you. Because I wasn't talking to you. I was going somewhere and I was talking to those following me. You have left the trail. Stop saying, the Lord said, he will never leave me. No, that is when you are following me. Not when you have gone your own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has gone his own way. It's not the one I said, I won't leave. That one, I don't have to leave you. You have left me. You are literally left behind. Leave that thing. Here he said it. Look at it. He said, if you seek him, he will let you find him. But, read the rest for me. Please, let's read this Bible. It's called the whole counsel of God. If you forsake me, him, he will. You know, please, I don't know. These people that preach funny doctrines, those of you who listen to them, I think you are begging to be deceived. You love deception. Like one sister came to our house, they were telling my wife, say, I go to a hyper grace church. My wife said, what does that mean? Yeah, she said with her own mouth, I go to a hyper grace church. Say, before, if I do something wrong, you know, for days I'll be feeling bad, but now I understand that God loves me. I said, and you are still doing it. That's what I tell her. My wife told her, you see. You say, I don't walk in guilt. Say, no, that guilt was good for you. Now you are sleeping the sleep of death. You are comfortable in sin because somebody preached grace to you. Say, God said, I will never, never leave you. I say, hey, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to the people that follow him. He gave them the assurance. Don't worry about it. No matter how things go, if you are going my direction, you will meet rough patches. Don't worry. I'm still there. People say that he said, I will never erase your name. Somebody actually quoted that for me. He said, the scripture I quoted is actually giving assurance to the saints that God said he will never erase their name. I said, when did he say so? I said, he gave them, don't you speak English? He gave them conditions. If you repent, I will not release your name. What does that mean? If you don't, status erasure. That's your name going. This is what is called the whole counsel of God. Read the whole Bible. Stop getting assurances where it doesn't exist. He said, Jesus himself said it. If you deny me, he said, if you're ashamed of me, what will happen? I will be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. Don't tell me that no, you can never, you know, what he said is, if you forsake him, he will. That's a prophetic word. Now, why was the prophet saying this? He said, it is because for those days, Israel was without a true God and without a teaching priest and without law. There are a lot of false gods inside there. But when they came into distress, can I say that again briefly? Anytime you find distress, stop shouting government. He said, but in their distress, they did what? They turned to the Lord God of Israel and they sought him and then he let them find him. A lot of times we have distress in life. That's what God is just saying. We are looking for solutions. God said, don't look for solutions. Look for me. Please, I will get back to my reading in a moment and my teaching. We'll get into the message. Let's just continue talking. I'll quote the Red Prince again. The Red Prince said, in any nation where the church is established, the Lord holds the church responsible for everything that happens in that nation. Let me go over it again. In any nation where the church is established, the Lord, that was a prophetic word. The Lord holds the church responsible for everything that happens in that nation. Do you understand? Which means, who is responsible for banditry in Nigeria? Who's responsible for terrorism? I'm not saying they are the ones bombing churches, but they are the ones responsible. They are responsible both by their actions and their inactions. How we respond to every situation, there's a reason I'm explaining this. How we respond to every situation shows what we understand, all right? And then determines what God will do. Yeah, I need to say that. How we respond determines what God will do. Let me explain. If we find, because you see, if you don't get this thing right, you will live a life through and through full of frustrations. You'll be angry all the time. If you look under the sun, this life is very annoying. This life is very frustrating. You know, when I was younger, I thought that, when I say younger, and I don't mean when I was a baby. I mean just a few years ago, maybe 15 years ago. I used to think that all this kind of injustice, court, trial, all this kind of, that is only in Nigeria. I feel like if you go to America, justice, the court system works. There's justice, everything here. Unless I read the news. And I was getting more understanding in life, following the events. Ah. And I thought to prevent a man from running for president, they will go and cook up case to try him so that they will disqualify him. I said, so it doesn't matter to you people what you are doing to your justice system. Do you know, there's somebody I knew once was granted bail. You know, in Nigeria, you say, don't mind these people. And he slept the whole weekend in jail because he said the judge has gone home. I said, but that's not Nigeria, that's America now. You know the way the movies tell us, they go to the house of the judge and they sign, they say, forget. Judge, don't go house. He said, judge, don't close. He said, judge, they close America too? No, until then, I thought it was a Nigerian problem. Then I now found out that even in America, if you have money, you're less likely to go to jail unless you offend somebody. You know, before I thought it was a Nigerian thing. And I discovered that in the United States, if you commit a crime, just hire a very expensive lawyer who knows the work, who knows the law, and knows how to manipulate things. I was shocked too. Now, please, this is not, you see, when it comes to legal system, Nigeria is worse than them. I'm not saying the fact. But I just thought that there's a place on this earth where justice exists with human beings. Do you know now? I now understand that if you don't want trouble, pray. God is the one that will help you in this life. You know why I'm saying this? You know when you see the church telling you that, the other day I heard they say, hey, shut down all the schools until the children are rescued. I said, okay. I said, you didn't even have to do that. One or two states have shut down the schools for security reasons. Yes. Do you know, I hear Christians say that the job of the government is to protect people, and you're a believer. See, is the government not supposed to protect? But that's not the issue. When you're a Christian, there are statements you don't make. Don't offend heaven. My help comes from where? In fact, the first line was, if you read the King James, normal Bible says, I lift up my head to the hill. The literal Hebrew, those who know understand Hebrew, they said, will I lift up my head to the hill? Does my help come from there? It was a question. Verse 1 was a question. The answer was verse 2 and below. He said, no, my help comes from the Lord. I know it's interesting that the government of Nigeria is on a hill, as a rock. And people are still lifting up their heads to the hills. Let me give you the word of the Lord. From there comes your disappointment. From there comes your frustration. From there comes your anger and your pain. One of our brothers, he said something once, which made me, which of course we always knew. I said, you're just discovering it. It was the way he said it. He works with government people, he works on projects, government projects, different things. So, like a consultant. So one day, so he was used to, when he was working with people at local government level, small businesses, they said, if only government could. So one day he got a job working with state government people, and those ones were saying that if only government could. So he felt that, well, maybe federal government. Then one day he got another job he was doing, and he was consulting for somebody in Aso Rock. So his office was linked to Aso Rock, and he's talking to federal government people that work in Aso Rock. And you know what they were saying? If only government could. So like, sorry, who's now government? Now I've gone through every phase of government, every level. One day I was in the office in Teaching Hospital here, and the director of finance of the institution we're talking, he said, he said, our leaders. I looked at him. It's kind of my mate, you know. I called him. I said, I pointed the person there in front of us. We're three. Him and me. I said, if three of us are still saying our leaders, don't you think there's a problem in this country? Yeah, I told him. I said, look at the three of us in this office. If you are arranging Nigeria in leadership levels, we're in the top 1%. Yeah. If you rank Nigerians in the positions they hold, no, we're in the top 1%. Just leave that. I said, wait, and you are saying our leader. I said, who's the leader? I said, who's the leader? Now, when we say these things, it sounds like, you have to, see, let me just warn you as a Christian. Frustration will eat you up. For the simple reason that you kept your eyes on the wrong place. I say it all the time, please, in a nation like ours, give everybody their job. Those protesters, let them do their protesting work. But we Christians, anytime there's calamity, there's trouble. You know, I was quoting what the Red Queen says. We should be in church asking, Lord, what are you saying? You hear what I said? It's calamity. It's trouble. We should be in church asking, Lord, what are you saying? These people, they have infiltrated. God said, as far as I'm concerned, my people, you left the, like they say, the flanks open. You were the one that didn't cover everywhere. So the question is that, what did we do wrong? And I can get some of the answers he will give if we bother to ask. He will tell you things like, all of you ran to your panel houses while the work of advancing the gospel was lying in ruins. Some of the communities attacked, say, hey, wait, how many missionaries do you have there? You will see that 10 major denominations will gather and they have none. Because what you don't claim, somebody has the right to claim. That's the kind of answers you give. Do you know if we bother to... See, I thought about the other day. I said our God has power. You know what his name? Finish it for me. Almighty God. All might. Every power, every might on this earth, every bit of it is with him. So if he's not doing something, there's a reason why he's not doing it. It's not because he can't. See, the Lord can give a signal like this. Pop a finger. And it will empty the whole nation of bandits and terrorists. I'm telling you. He can't. It's not even... It's not one of the things they use to test him. When you want to test God, then move the sun back. That's what you use. Are you getting my point? Yeah. When you want to test the Lord had to tell Ezekiel, what sign do you want? Ask for anything. God made a shadow go back. You know what it means? No, many of us, unless you have done a bit of astronomy, you understand this, you won't understand the impact of that. That is more difficult than walking, what is drying the Red Sea. Red Sea no be anything now. Red Sea is nothing. Human beings divert rivers. Don't you know that? When they want to build dams, some things that they do, I say human beings. These people, no wonder God said, let us make man in our image. You see a river like River Niger, they would, as big as it is, they would divert it. Go and pass that place first. We want to build dam here. That's what human beings do. So for God to open the Red Sea and keep the water up, we can't do that one, but we've done something similar. Block that one he did in Jordan, and that one has smarted. Human means he can dam Jordan. I say Israel pass, then they open the dam. It takes longer for us to do it. That will be a few years. Are you getting my point? The Lord will do it his own in 1 hour, or 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or 2 seconds. Okay? But when you're talking about moving the sun backwards, moving a shadow backwards, there's what they call the Dyson sphere. Even after inventing the Dyson sphere, which we cannot invent in 7,000 years, it's an imaginary sphere, all right? Which you can capture all the energy around the star. Even if we invented that, we can't move time backwards. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But that's how great God is. Let me tell you how great God is. Say, Lord, we have not finished the battle. So, Lord, say, what do you want? We need more light. It's all right. Tell the sun to stand still. And Joshua lifts up his head and says, sun, stand still. Look, listen. Many people don't understand what it means. If it was a natural thing, even Joshua couldn't stand in that place, he would fly off. Yeah. You go and read a bit of it. The earth rotation, the movement of the sun, all of them is why you can sit on one spot. If one of them stops, you fly off. You'll be surprised at the speed at which you are going, sitting down here. So, I'm just trying to describe the Almighty God. One of the things I like about him are his angels. Some of those guys are, sometimes God gives us visions of these things. One of my friends described the vision of his guardian angel. So the guy entered the room with him. And the man's head did not fit. You get my point? Said for the guy to fit into the room, he had to bend. And that was the guy guarding him. And said the guy rested against the wall. And what he saw was that nothing is passing through here. Those angels, I say it all the time, there are different kinds of angels. Gabriel, I love you. God bless you. You're angel of revelation, angel of Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. You understand? Beautiful angel. Yeah. But the angels that guard, they get the sword on their belt like that. And they get up and say, who won't die? like the soldiers will say, where's the enemy? The Lord say, those are the enemies. How many are they? 185,000. Kill them. How long, Lord? One night. Please, I hope you're getting the Almighty God.
Yes, sir.
The Bible describes those angels as being what? Mighty in strength, who hearken unto the voice of his word. Brethren, if God has not driven out some things out of our midst, there is a reason. It's not inability. That's all this talk I'm talking is to get to that point. If he has not stopped banditry for us, we, the church, we have an assignment to go and ask him why. Are you getting my point? If he has not stopped many troubles for us, we should ask him why. And please, let's stop behaving like the people of the world who the Bible says they are hopelessly confused. We know the source of calamity. Like we're talking about yesterday. God said, what do you see? He said, I see a pot boiling, pouring down towards us from the north. God said, you have seen well. It's calamity, I'm bringing it from that side. Jeremiah saw pot bubbling, spilling over its contents because it was so hot. And it was pouring towards them from the northern part of the nation. He said, what is going to happen? He said, from the north, this is the calamity I'm going to bring. And the Babylonians will come. And that's trouble. That is what Christians see. We don't see things from the physical level. I remember the story. I read, what's the name of this man? John Gillick. There was a plague in South Africa. Of course, medical people, even he was walking, care for the wounded, for the sick and the dead. And then, he and his friend was praying. So one day, he went and met that one. How far? He said, I have a feeling that if I get help, I will break through. So he stayed with him and they prayed together. Suddenly, the heavens opened. And they saw what doctors were seeing as bacteria. They saw the demons all over the countryside. And God gave them authority. So they began to chase those demons out of the place. And next day, the plague began to die down. Of course, the medical people would take credit for it. But he knew what happened. I wrote a teaching that time before NSAS. You remember NSAS? Yes. No, after NSAS was when I wrote the teaching because of how Christians misbehaved. Christians, please, let's stop misbehaving. I felt very bad. When apartheid was going to come to an end, I heard this story. I didn't personally participate in that. I'm not in South Africa. I heard that people had visions and they prayed though. They saw, trouble coming to the land. They knew there was going to be war, fight, and everything.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
And they continued to pray. And that diverted the trouble away from that nation. And they went to another nation nearby. Let me not mention names. You can easily guess. And when trouble broke out in that place, almost 1 million people died in 3 months. I still remember watching CNN those days. And you will see a river. And the only way you know it's a river is that the human bodies on it are bouncing up and down. Covered edge to edge with dead bodies. They are decomposing, so they are bouncing, they are floating. 800,000 people died by violence. And then the rest died in their camps from cholera. Please, I explained it that time. You have to understand. If I, one of our brothers, the one that's a minister in Abuja now, he and I were talking recently around that answer. He said, ah, sir, the thing spread so fast. I said, that's why they are called horsemen. That's why I wrote the teaching on those horsemen riding. And you know, you have to understand how to understand the prophetic. Now, let me explain. Be very careful. Prophetic things are very interesting. When COVID started, all right, we prayed. Because when we saw what was happening in US and Europe, I think it was Italy or France, one of those countries. If you see how much they were offering doctors to come and work. Oh boy. The money was so huge. Do you understand? But no doctor agreed to go. Because this is not come and work, this is come and die. Because the COVID hit them badly. I still saw, you know, videos. And this is, you know, we forget this is so easy. This was Europe. They were lining human beings on the floor in the hospitals. There was nowhere to keep sick people. There was one reverend father that was celebrated because he was sick. He was being treated. They brought a young boy, a young guy, maybe in his late teen, early 20s. The reverend father looked at him and decided that, look, I'm old. Treat this young man. He got up from his bed, everything. And he died, though. When we saw it in Nigeria, we said, we can't handle this. So. And we began to do what? That's the point. We began to pray. Please, can I just quickly remind us, there's an Ebola outbreak right now in Congo. Let's all pray. The federal government has released a lot of money. Now they are monitoring the airports, flights going in and out. But let's also pray. Because when Ebola came that time, I testify that we also prayed. And the prayer worked too. You know, that one worked so much that when CNN, you know what they call CNN? They are lost to tell us how useless we are in Africa. It's not their fault. I mean, it's a dash whole country, all right? All over the place. So, it's not their fault. When CNN saw what happened during Ebola, when I saw their report, my jaw dropped. Because what they expected was Ebola entered Nigeria, populous nation. This one, they thought that bodies everywhere. In a few weeks, we contained it. We could count the number of deaths, contained the whole thing, and it disappeared. He said, you know, Nigeria, because of its established and working health infrastructure, I almost fell down. Thank you. Since when? The only explanation they had was that we had a good health infrastructure. Honestly, I almost fell. Which country are you talking about? Is it the one you hear report about all the time? Because they were amazed. But you know, it was God. A few weeks ago, there was one international journal that still recognized the woman. A textbook of medicine was released, a new edition. And they gave her a section in it to honor her for her index of suspicion. How she was able to just suspect and forcefully detained an international patient, a diplomat. Forcefully detained him. And next thing, hey, I didn't know we could do that amount of contact tracing. See, things worked so well. The international community, they said, okay, you see, they had this established, the working health infrastructure and medical staff and all that. I said, I can say all the time, anytime God has blessed you, there's always an explanation. Brethren, do you know we prayed though? When we prayed, God answered. COVID time came again, we prayed. Now, why am I telling this story? Just to remind us of some things. No, not understanding the prophetic, right? Please read my book, By Faith Acquire Life. I talked about voices of accusation. Accusations are actually made in the heavenly realms, but you hear them on the earth, different ways. That time, Bill Gates said something. Now, please, I do not at all believe there's any credence or relevance to the idea that they are the people trying to take over the world. It's nonsense. The man is doing his business. Software will take over the world. Has taken over the world. You know. In fact, they are taking him over. All right. So that's the way life is. Forget him. He's not your problem. He only spoke according to the work he does. Then he was doing a lot of philanthropy and all of that. Okay. And he said, as a result of lockdown, there will be scarcity. As a result of scarcity, there will be unrest. It's a normal procedure. He was just warning governments about it. So he said, there will be massive debts. As all of the massive debts and all the health measures to be taken, there will be scarcity for all kinds of resources. That will lead to, you know that even in basic biology, intense competition, and that will lead to a lot of unrest all over the nations. That was just their prediction. Now, that is what they call echoes of accusations. If you're going to read the Bible, horsemen ride one. I don't want to give them the wrong order now. They ride one after the other. They ride one after the other. See, what happened to Job? A doctor can explain it from the effect of the loss of the calamity he suffered. But we now know, by looking above the heavens, that the spirit went forth, did the first round, came back, took order again, took instructions, and then did the second round and afflicted him. But medically, there's a way of measuring that thing in progression. There's a way of doing it. And this man, that's exactly what they did. They predicted. But actually, it's the echoes of accusations going before the judgment throne of God. That's what the Bible calls the decree of the watchers. The watchers make petitions sometimes for the sake of righteousness. No, we have too much fixation on devil, 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 devil. A lot of those guys who speak, they are not evil. God gave them instructions to defend righteousness. So when evil, all right, fills the earth, they will come and say, Lord, judge the earth. They're not bad people. That's their job. I mean, you read in Revelation, sometimes the dead saints will say, how long before you avenge our blood? Are they evil people? They are saints of God who were killed for righteousness, who were killed for the gospel, were killed for the name of the Lord that they carried. Yet they will get up and they will speak in heaven. And heaven will hear. And God, who is the righteous judge, will, listen to this, will release, there are five calamities he releases. Natural disasters. That's what they call sword. Neighbor against neighbor. This is manifest as guns, bombs. IEDs. Then there's what they call wild beasts. I mentioned natural disasters. There's what they call pestilence. How many have I given now?
Four.
I think there's a fifth one. Let me not waste time. I'm trying to remember it. I didn't plan to say this, so I didn't put it together. So there's natural disaster, there's sword, there's pestilence, and there's what? Wild beasts. Yes. God bless you. There's famine. And usually each one is a different horseman riding. Each one is a different spirit commanding it. So when things happen on the earth, every time one of those spirits have been released. Now listen to this. We are devil fixated. The devil, the devil, the devil. Sometimes they are watchers. Sometimes they are defenders of holiness and righteousness. Who will petition, and that's their job. They have to petition to God. Cleanse the earth, it is defiled. And when God responds, he responds with tsunamis. When God will respond, he will respond with hurricanes. When God will respond, he will respond with withholding rain, famine. But you know, Christians are so Satan. Some of the people who offer these petitions are righteous people. Some of them are righteous saints that used to live on the earth. Now, I'm going to say something. I hope you make sense out of it. But if you don't worry, you won't lose anything. Some of them are saints that still live on the earth, but who have more insight and understanding than the average one of us, and they don't care whether people lived or died as long as God's righteousness is preserved. So a man like Elijah will say, there will be no dew or rain until I say so. People died in that famine. Elijah had a commandment, preserve the worship of God, preserve righteousness in this land. People even said he was not a Jew. Yeah, he was not an Israelite. That was some theological school. They say he was not even an Israelite. And if you read the Bible, God does such things. Just brought the man from far. That land is too polluted. Clean it for me. And what's the method of cleaning? Cleansing. Just do the farming. They were cleaning their they were killing animals because the animals were dying of starvation. So let's just eat them. That woman became so poor. And that's the one that prayed. Some who were angry. What's government doing about the weather? They died. Yeah, I'm telling you. Is that not what we do? You know, when it's weather now, we don't say. But sometimes it is. The same God that did that to the weather, he will do the same thing. But with other forces. Disease, pestilence, invading armies. Do you get my point? So sometimes, you know, we Christians, we are so keen, devil. Remember one man, COVID period. He said, hey, whatever the devil is doing, God, I said, my bro, sit down. This is not the devil. There are powers the devil does not have. When the horseman rides and he kills one third of the earth, where do you think the devil is? Behind the mountains, hiding for his own life. His own judgment is near. What are you talking about? You think... If you see the picture of the beings in heaven, you won't have time for witches. Witch will be like an annoying cockroach in your house. You know, those kind of mosquitoes that when you are driving. You know, have you ever seen mosquitoes in your car when you are driving? They are so difficult to kill. Those things are Satan, no? They want to cause accidents. Park and kill them first. You will not think of witches more than those annoying things. When you see the beings in heaven, when the pastor Murphy of blessed memory, he sent me a message. He said, this particular spirit, is it an angel or a demon? I read it. I answered him, me too, I don't know. I never thought about it until that day. That angel of the abyss. So we didn't know which side he was on. Is this guy working for us or against us? When you get to the heavens, I saw one video, like one guy, he tried to depict the things that Ezekiel saw. At the end of the day, I said, I believe this thing. Because some of them be like, if we do it on earth, it will be PG rated. Or, okay, no, not for children. Scary beings. And these are people who bear the throne. Who carry the glory of God. If you still have time to be debating witches and wizards, you have not gone anywhere. You see, really, I think you are still in sin. Anybody that's sitting down talking about witches and wizards, tell the person, I told you, the person is still in sin. He should repent, be baptized. God will give you things to be afraid of. No, God will find you something good to be afraid of. Be afraid of witches and wizards. What kind of nonsense is that? But see, you need to bear this in mind. On this earth, there are spirits rolling. And some of these spirits, their job, Sadhu will tell you that the seraphs, their job is to defend the holiness of God. And that when Ananias and Sapphira died, So a seraph came and killed Ananias and Sapphira. They were not killed by... Forget us, Pentecostals like to preach. Say, God now left them for the devil. Leave, no, I don't know why. I say, God is squeamish. You know when they go squeamish? That when God sees blood, they say, no, I don't want to see. Give it to Satan. The owner of blood, Simon, God bless you. He's not squeamish. He can beat 100,000 people to save one person he loves. Hey, there are scriptures, you said that. He said, the Lord was riding, was moving. And they said, why is your blood soaked in red? He said, I've just avenged myself of my adversaries. He had killed and killed. His clothes were soaked with blood. And that was the Lord. He said, I avenged myself of my adversaries. I'm just done with threshing them. He was soaked. That's the God we have to deal with. So when we see things on the earth sometimes, I keep saying, some of these troubles we see on the earth, is spiritual beings, watchers in heaven, watchers on the earth. Let me explain. Sometimes they will see corruption, something we have gotten used to, and they are angry and say, Lord, end this corruption. I'm sorry. Next thing, you hear that 20, call them any names, terrorists, bandits, everything, just came and killed everybody. You will never link it with a watcher that looked and was angry and provoked. In his spirit, he said, what is all of this? Let me tell you, doesn't sound nice. There are villages that are wiped out. Do you know why? Because one night, two strangers took shelter there and the villagers robbed them and killed them. God said, no problem. Because they know Allah. They will have forgotten. Then they will send their children to school. They will send their wives and their brothers to the farms. And you won't know where these people just show up from, surround the whole place, and kill everybody, burn every house, and disappear. And you see the Lord. Why are you all red? Say, I just finished avenging myself of my adversaries. I sent two of my servants to that place. I knew they would kill them because they had been killing for years. I want them to stop. Do you know Jerusalem provoked him that badly? Cain killed Abel. God said the land has been defiled. From the story we have, Manasseh killed Isaiah. You know Isaiah? Prophet Isaiah. The one that went and told Ezekiel that he will not die. He first told him he will die. Then I said he will not die. Gave him 15 more years. Ezekiel had a son during that period. That boy he had killed Isaiah. God said, no problem. And they always used to kill prophets in Jerusalem. God said, no problem. He kept marking it. He marked it until one time. His anger was getting... He'd been piling it up. Then finally... See, those of you who interpret scripture outside Christ, I don't understand you. If you know the mind of God, then Jerusalem one day took on the Son of God and killed him. According to divine wisdom anyway... But they were used because, you see, Jesus told the story. He said, no, let me send my son. He has sent his servants again and again, and they kept killing. So the Lord said, for this reason also, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, and some they will persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God. Say, yes, I tell you, it shall be charged against this generation. As a result, you know what happened? Everybody that was in Jerusalem was killed. The only people that survived, were those who heard the warning of Jesus Christ and ran away when the armies began to surround Jerusalem. Jesus gave them a sign. He said, this is how you know that her desolation is near. When you see the armies begin to surround Jerusalem. I hope you're getting my point. See, it was divine judgment. It was a very, very terrible time, but it was divine judgment. I'm talking about the church being known and understand the prophetic. So when such things begin to happen, remember, anytime you see accusations, now there's a way the court of heaven works. Everybody does his work. The fact that God pronounces judgment doesn't mean he wants to. Are you getting my point? The fact that he pronounces judgment does not mean he wants to. So that is when people must arise as what? Intercessors. And that's the beautiful thing about being a Christian. All right? The ability to arise as an intercessor. That's a beautiful thing about being a believer. So anytime you see problems like we are seeing all around us, it is not the time to shout at government. It's a mark of ignorance when you do that. Now, I'm not in defense here of a government. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying let everybody do his job. That's what I keep saying. Let everybody do his work. It amazes me when Christians... I heard that Pentecostals, EZPF, went on the streets. There's nothing to me. It's terrible. Heaven is ashamed. These are things that make heaven, you know, ashamed. They even just look like, are these my children? No, they can't be. Christians now marching on the streets because of terrorism, because of banditry. First, see, I'm not here to talk politics. If you want to go and talk politics, go to the bar where you guys discuss that and discuss it. This is church. Are you getting my point? This is the word of God. I'm saying everybody understand your role, understand your assignment. At such times, what should you do? You should get on your knees. And remember I said there are voices of accusation. There is not only Satan that does that thing. There are people who are... Now, let me not call them accusers. Those guys are defenders, the one I'm talking about, of God's holiness, defenders of God's righteousness. They are the ones that the Bible calls the watchers. Now, this one I'm saying, I said it earlier, is my own personal opinion. There are heavenly watchers. They are watchers on the earth. And I told you, Elijah was one of those watchers on the earth. And those watchers oftentimes, as you see in the case of Elijah, they don't care the calamity that arises. What they care about is God's righteousness. What they care about is the establishment of God's purity, his holiness amongst his people. They want the people of God pure. That's why it was not a problem at all to Peter that Ananias died. I know because he did not try to preserve the woman's life. He just waited for her to come. And said, put yourself inside the same shoe that your husband was wearing. He allowed her to entrap herself. If it's you and me, in fact, I know, if I try that one here, John would have gone to wait at the gate. He probably would have recruited who and who now will follow him to go and wait for Sapphira when she comes. He said, Madam Sapphira, Mrs. Ananias, kneel down and repent of your sins. They'll be begging her. But Pete, tell the truth here. Once you reach there, waiting your eyes, see, take her more. But Peter didn't allow anybody to do that. Or maybe Sapphira, they even tried and she was being stubborn. Maybe some people, maybe they had Johns there in that place. You know John, the other John, will not do such a thing. Peter is one that will do it. But the point I'm making, do you know Peter did not care? He just said, hey, come, what happened? You sold the land. Is it true that people sold you for this amount? Yes. And you brought the whole money to the church? Yes. And you gave it to the brethren? Yes. You put in the pool? Yes. And we blessed you for it? Yes. You are sure? He said, yes. He said, good now. He said, those young men that are coming, they are just coming back from burying your husband. So I think they left a plot of land there. A small plot to bury you to. Space. Yeah, go. That's what they call the watchers. Peter didn't care that Sapphira was dying and leaving children and grandchildren behind. I don't know.
Why? Wasn't wicked. Please, get my point. He was not wicked. He was just so concerned about this church that is just being birthed. It has to be pure. Even if it costs the life of Ananias and Sapphira. And according to the prince, God said, I've said my own. Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said. That now you have seen what I do to people who behave like this. Even if that, if I don't do it immediately, I will do it to you later. And many people are in distress. They are in trouble today because of this thing. There are those, because they want to please the pastor. Say, all those who have their tithes this morning, please stand up. Say, pastor will be looking at me if I don't stand. God said, there's not a problem now. Then give him the tithe. But for you to stand, and then you go behind and say, Pastor Bank said it's not compulsory. Say, whoa, what thing I go do you? God said, see. You say, Pastor Bank said tithe is not compulsory. I didn't say it's a lie. Say, but your pastor said if you are tithing, stand up. And you stood up. That money must drop. The whole tithe, by the way. I won't let you take taxes away from it. I won't let you take everything. The whole tithe. Say, my mother was sick. Say, it doesn't matter. You will give this church the whole. He said to the Lord, why? He said, because you stood. If you did not want to do it, why stand? That's what he's saying. He's not angry with anybody. And those of you who are listening to me who have been standing recklessly. I'm telling you now, there's only one choice you have of these two. Either pay that money complete or stop standing. And the one you stood in the past, there's only one way. Either you go and pay or you go and report yourself. Say, Pastor, see, that the way I stand there, to be honest with you, I was just trying to please you, but please, I know most pastors, they don't go agree. You go pay the money. Say, see, I forgive you in the name of the Lord. How much was it? So it was just 350,000. Say, good. Oh, you had 3.5 million. Okay, very good. So you will bring the 350. Then according to the, they will find scripture for you, 20% interest per annum. Then they calculate the thing. But just for you to understand, I'm on their side, you must pay. What did I say? No, that's not what I said. I'm on their side. Your sin is that you were lying. Do you know there's a particular church? You know, you and this your brethren, apostle. One, this your people. No? Big people. Do you know they had the, no, I need to tell this story so that we stop this nonsense. They had a leaders' meeting. And they said in the leaders' meeting that please, oh, on Sunday, pastor is going to ask us, he is going to raise money for this our project. So when they say who wants to give 5 million, please, people should try and stand up. Ah, so somebody in the church put up there and said, excuse me, millions. We may not have that amount of money. You know what they said? No, it doesn't matter. It's just to encourage other people. Yes. See, I'm telling you, if I mention the name of the church, you will fall off this your chair. You will fall off. You look at the way you're looking at me. You will fall. See, if I mention the name. No, you can't tempt me to mention it. You can't. I won't switch off my son. I switch off your mic. He has nothing to do with the microphone. I just will not say it. I won't even whisper it. The only person that knows is my wife. I won't even... Apostle, the way I'm looking at it, there's nothing this guy does not know. Let me just tell you. How does that feel? See? Yeah. He knew before I knew. So he's the one that even comes to tell me. Anything happened in Nigeria, in church in Nigeria, he does not know it did not happen. When I ask him, why did they take notice thing? He said, Ogana, my work. I'm in ministry. Do you know, if a Pentecostal church full of the word, they gather their leaders and say, when they start raising money in public, all of you stand up. When they call 1 million, five million, 3 million, stand up. People say, but we don't have that kind of money. He said, doesn't matter. Just stand up. That you don't have to pay it. It was to let the rest of the people know that this money is being raised so they will now be encouraged. Brethren, when sicknesses start in that church and people start dropping dead, you won't know where it began from. It is us that are squeamish. God is not.
I hope you are getting my point. Many of the troubles we see on this earth, when you see them, brethren, stop going out to go and be mounting nonsense protests. Gather the brethren. Like all these things happening in Nigeria today. I'm not a member of PFN or CAN and all of that. But what I think we should have done, and I've seen people do things like that in different parts of the country, but as a whole, we should have gathered. We don't need, maybe it's been done, that's why I say maybe. We don't need the press. They just think we call it normal synod. We just call it normal meeting. We close out the doors inside, everybody. Everybody remove your shoes. As you are coming to confess your sins, otherwise we'll ananias you here. Yeah, no, it's true. If you know you are not ready, it will serve communion there. So if you are not ready, just stay outside. If I heard one Jesus recently, I won't mention the name. Okay, no, I can mention the name. Archbishop Idahosa. They said one day PFN was meeting. There was one particular man of God. That one, I can tell you guys, if you ask me, then he came in, entourage, big like this. As he walked in, the Archbishop interrupted the person who was speaking, called a microphone, and told that guy, called his name, say, you, the way you walked in like this, turn around and walk out. When you're ready to preach the gospel, we'll let you in. Yeah. Went back to his seat. That guy turned around. Ah, you don't dare that. You know your guy now. Oh, you know who it is? We can do that. Then we'll gather inside and say, brethren, this is our land. What is happening? A prophet will arise in our midst and tell us what God is saying. A prophet will arise and tell us what God is saying. What is happening a lot of times is that even when we come in here, we are so sectarian, in our thoughts. We are tribal. We are guinea. These people. Even in the church, we've divided ourselves into pieces along tribal and regional lines. So the Lord cannot even talk to us. Church, listen. Calamity is to let us turn. That's what I'm making. We'll settle down and own the land. Do you get my point? We'll own the land and say, it is ours. And like I said, grace always gives you something to obey. If I have a feeling, God will just say, okay, you, denomination, you have money, right? See these people, they are doing this mission work. They will submit their budget for the next 5 years. Write the check for them now. And I want you to close all your churches in that area. You have no business there. Hand over your property. Yes, to these people. Then their mission work for the next 5 years, underwrite it and write them a check now. Grace will give you what to obey. With all your fine auditoriums, you organize a program, minister's program. These are the people I want to preach. None of them have fine clothes. And they will dress like that. And all these your fine, fine boys and girls will sit down and listen to them. And you are feeling righteous because you are driving an expensive car with empty spirits, empty souls, nothing inside there. See, there was one thing, one program, they called it the Kessie Convention. I heard about it. So this guy went for a meeting. When the preacher finished preaching, those, they know what they call money order. We don't do it now, we do transfers and all that. Then if you want to send money, you go postal order, money order. They said when they finished that convention, all the money order in the post office, they're finished. Do you know why? When the people finish preaching, one of the charges given is, go and pay your debt. If you have defrauded anybody, so guys left meeting, Christian meeting, they were going to pay their debts. Do you understand? So the post office could not handle the order. Christians had a convention. People were coming there to buy postal order, money orders, to send to people they were owing money because they said, you are stealing. That's what they call revival. Yes, sir. A lot of the problems we are seeing in this nation, they are ignited and they are the judgment for corruption. They are ignited by, I wanted to say, and they are the judgment for corruption. And God is not interested in corruption outside first. He's the one inside. Let's continue reading. It's good I did not give the title of what I want to preach today, because I have not yet reached there. Don't worry. See, in case you want to know, all these men of God, I have decided that I won't even try again, you know, to follow. Tuesdays, we follow the other, but this Saturdays, once I start preaching, anywhere the Spirit moves, we follow.
It's the prophetic word of God I'm giving. I know what I'm talking about. Which verse, where did we stop? He said, but in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And they let them find him. What was the problem they had? In those days, there was no peace to him who traveled. I just paraphrase that line. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. Nation was crushed by nation. Now, when he's talking about nation now, we're talking about groups of people. Like in Nigeria, we have over 200 nations. Do you understand? Nation was crushed by nation, and city by city, communal clashes filled the land. For the devil troubled them with every kind of distress. Did I ask you? For who troubled them?
God.
Let me just tell you this doctrine we like to preach. God allowed them to be... No, it's not true. The Bible says God troubled them with every kind of distress. You know, I was sitting in my household yesterday. We're in Isaiah. When Isaiah finished, that's which chapter were we in? Around 5 or so. And no, Isaiah was saying things that God will do. And I pointed and said, did you see what Isaiah said? He said, because they forsook the Lord. Let's leave Satan out of this. It is not as if God now leaves them to Satan. He by himself troubles people. But the reason he gives is what we should bear in mind. He never, the Bible says he does not afflict the sons of man willingly. He does not do it willingly. It's never his will, but it's often his judgment. When they depart from him, this is what they experience. This is what he brings upon them, not Satan, not the devil. The Bible says, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. You know, when we don't want... Anyway, let me not even sit on that one. Let me just sit down. Please, this is the scripture. I'm not the one manufacturing. Let's not twist it. It's what he said. God troubled them with every kind of distress. Amos said, I saw the Lord preparing a swarm of locusts, not standing back. Why the devil prepared it? Did you notice that? No, please, I just want to let people who like to just make it look like God does not, you know, he doesn't, no. He said, I saw the Lord. That's what Amos said. Let me just open to it quickly, please. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord showed me a vision. And I saw him preparing to send a vast swarm of locusts. Let me read for New Americans. They say, he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout. And behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. And it came about when it had finished eating the vegetation of the land. Then I said, Lord God, please, pardon. How can Jacob stand? For he is small. In verse 3, the Lord changed his mind about this and said what? It shall not be. That's what they call an intercessor. Who is pleading for mercy. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord showed me, and behold, the Lord was calling to contend with them by fire. Who was contending? Who was calling the fire? Answer me now. The Lord. Did you see the devil in this picture? Let me tell you, Christians, the time of Satan, for you is a time of temptation. Should I take the money or not take the money and announce a wrong winner in an election? Christians, let me just tell you ahead of time. I believe we should get involved in politics. I believe we should get involved in governance of all sorts. However, if you know you are not able to stand some pressure, it is better you don't go there. Because you
close your mouth of righteousness for intercession. Please, let me give this one. I think I gave it some time ago. They are going to make you election, what do they call it, returning officers. What are the small, anyway, returning officers of different levels, all right? Either state, local government, council, ward, whatever it is. Now, this is the word of the Lord. You must not take, you know, God told that prophet, said, when you go down there, the one they sent against Jeroboam, when you get there, don't drink, don't eat, don't go the same way you came. Just pass through the city, declare my word, and keep going. Now, I'm giving you that same word now. Don't eat as a returning officer. Don't drink anything any party gives you. Come with your flask. Tell your wife to prepare your food. Go there. See, I said, don't eat, don't drink. Don't take fuel money from anybody. Your security details, they are not allowed. I'm giving you the instruction of the Lord. They are not allowed to grease their palms. If you want to take care of your policemen and your soldiers, whatever money you were paid. Now, let me just tell you something, Christians. You don't need money. I know some people won't like this when I say it. You don't. Take that money. If they say your allowance is 500K, take it, share it for your security people. You would go with nothing. You don't need anything. Don't worry. I pray you understand what I've said. They sent you with people who you have to take care of. You know, Nigerians, we prepare for, because of our corruption behavior. Let me tell you, the job a Christian has is to be different. In this country, that's what you need to do. See, the little one they give you, share with your security details. And is, you know, there are people that they put, I forgot to mention, and here I've talked about electoral officers, right? Let me now talk to those of you who are in the judiciary and you're a Christian. Now, if you don't obey me, you will die. I'm not joking, no. Oh, did you hear what I said? I'm not giving you a word of advice. I'm warning you. It's your life that's in danger. You don't obey this that I've said, you will die. You think I'm kidding? If they put you, a Christian, on a tribunal, there are government-approved allowances. Collect. If any of the parties, whether the winning or the rigging or the opposing one, comes to you, if you take a dime, you will die. I've spoken to you with the voice of the seraphs. I am not here joking, oh, people. Not that when they put you on the tribunal now, you go and buy land. If you build in that, to collapse, you kill your children. So I know what I'm doing. I'm warning you. What nonsense are we here playing with? And if you tithe on that money, by God, you won't get back home. Because some of you, your own now is that you will court God. I speak to you by the Spirit of God. The day you pay that money, you is the last day you will live on the surface of this nation. All those of you that bring the wages of harlotry, that's what it is, into the temple. Thus says the Lord, this year you will die. I think we're here playing. My brethren, this is the problem of this country. And let me warn those of you who are pastors. This pulpit is too sacred for political campaign. You won't die. That's not the punishment for your own sin. But just take this warning now. It's too sacred for political campaign. I don't care who you are supporting. If he mounts that pulpit, God will destroy your ministry. Can be your friend. You can organize political debate. I don't have a problem with it. Arrange all of them. PRP, APC, NDC. I'm just mixing up the names, whichever way. They want to come to your church. You want your church to, let them send the representatives. Organize debate. Let them go and talk. Teach your people righteousness and leave it there. Ignorant people have started the game. mounting the pulpit, forsaking their ministry, not preaching to the wicked people. Wicked people are tithing and giving them offerings. They are collecting it and telling me who to vote for. Are you mad? Tell your people to stop stealing. I told you, my friend, Pastor Courage, a man joined his church, heavy giver. He said to me, he said, man, every time he gives, I'm unsettled. Until he called the man to the corner one day and said, oh boy, come. Since you came here, you've been a blessing to us. See, money. He said, but oh boy, tell me the truth. Where's the money coming from? I want to say, okay, I've given around town. I've given here and there. I've been giving. Just hoping that one pastor will call me one day and ask. Say, God bless you, sir. We steal it. So many of us know the truth is the consequences that we don't like. Because after I confronted that man, the income of the church dropped by guess how much? 50%. Only that guy was given the equivalent of what everybody else was given. That's the one we can't stand. You can imagine that I'm spending 2 million and only one person is giving 1 million out of it. And now discover that, oh boy, now fraud in the do. I'll now start dodging when I'm preaching. I don't want to offend him. Let me just tell those of you who don't offend people like that. You will offend your heart. You will offend your kidney. Your liver shall be offended. Do you understand my point? You go begin go hospital very soon. You know what? Did not say that you are preaching condemnation to people who are condemned. Is that not a favor? Was that what the prophet complained about? He said they keep on saying peace, peace. When indeed, there's no peace. See, I have told you now. You heard me speak. If you know you can't do what I've said, write your office. Say, I am not doing INEC business. I can't withstand it. Let me be sitting on court cases on who wants to divorce who. I can't go to tribunal. Let me tell you, if you're a judge, let me just warn you in this country. You're a Christian, you're a magistrate, you're a judge, you sit in the seat of a judge, either in the official judiciary, or you head an arbitration panel, whatever it is. Listen, be careful. Every bribe you take will hurt you, hurt your family, hurt your destiny. If you take bribe money used to send children abroad, every single one will smoke Igbo. Let me explain. When you've taken the bribe, you bought the dollar and sent those kids abroad. Within a year, every single one that went with that bribe money will be on drugs. Write it down and say, I did not tell you. Because I said write it down because you will refer to it later. Say, I did not tell you because you disobey and go. In 16 months, you will go back to where this thing. They say, this man warned me. You know the problem we have? We have been having, it shall be well prophets. Who don't understand or explain to us, it shall be well has conditions. He has conditions of repentance. You don't just get up and just say, shall be well, shall be well. I told you the story that our sister told. One woman, big woman, rich politician, business, everything, big, had money. I found out later, I didn't even know this part. She came to the prophet in her house. I don't know what they were doing, praying at night or something. I don't know. That's why the prophet was there. They were interceding. What do you want me to say now? By the time you carry a prophet, hotels there, you get money. You not put on there. Prophet didn't come with his wife. You did not come. You don't have a husband. Then I invited our sister to come, not knowing that this one has the real prophetic anointing. And that one was gyrating. The Lord says, if I be a man of God, prophesied peace, peace when there was no peace. The real prophet there said, she suddenly saw as if it was raining and it was blood. So blood dropping everywhere. Just had this sharp vision. Ah, so she screamed that he shall not be well. There will be blood. The fake prophet suddenly stopped. Told them to throw away Micaiah. When the God depart from me, when the Spirit of God depart from me to be prophesied through you. Anyway, that woman was nice enough. Told them not to do that. She's my friend. But did she not listen? She said, she begged this woman, please follow me to church. Okay, okay. The day they were supposed to go, okay, I'll come and pick you by 8 o'clock. Now, I'm just giving this time, but it's another time. By 7, her phone rang, say, oh, sorry, I will not be able to come because my son just came back. We have some things to, and so she escaped. She judged her deliverance. By Monday, she was dead. Having been stabbed like 20 times by that same boy. So all the money, where she carry and go now? Brother, I'm not joking. Enough of us praying for one thing and doing another thing. Enough of us, those of us, all we want to do is train. We don't want to tell the truth. Let me read and stop. The Lord is good. Where did we stop, your people? 2 Chronicles, right? 15, right? Yes. Okay. Verse 6, yeah. It said, but in the midst of all of this, King, be strong and do not lose courage, for there's reward for your work. Now, have you heard me say this before? That when Joshua, when only be strong and courageous. Do you remember? Do you remember what I used to say about it? Remember when the Bible says to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. You've heard me talk about that before, right? And what did I say that then when I spoke about it? That his strength and courage was to be shown in what? In war? In obedience to the word. Thank you. Exactly what Asa was being told here. But you, be strong and do not lose courage, for there's reward for your work. What was the work? He said, when Asa heard these words, he took courage. What did he do with courage? Look at it. He removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had captured from northern Israel. That was what he did with courage. He had gone to war. That's not the issue. It's, do you have the courage to tell the truth, Pastor? Do you have the courage to tell a stealing man who wants to give you money so you can, he said, your money perish with you? And you don't say such things that we count except you're broke. If I have 50 million naira, you now come to want to, Pastor, I want you to endorse us and you bring 2 million. What will I say to you? Your money perish with you. Because you see, but it's when the children just call that exam is starting next week and their school, they say you cannot write university students except they finish paying. And you don't have money. And you have a pulpit. Ha! Apostle, you don't have money and you have a pulpit. Put your hand in your right pocket. Anything you find there, bring it out. It is for the Lord and for his whoever. Is it, you hear what he said? He said, you know, normally I don't do this. But you are doing it now. If at such time they say, just endorse us, I will dash you 10 million naira. But your money will not perish with you. What? P- Wisdom is profitable today. God, the Lord can supply anyways. Hallelujah. I prayed yesterday. Money came this morning. What is that saying to you? The Lord has supplied. Remember your guy, oh boy? That one, he said, they came and met him and said, you know, that he should pray that his candidate will win. That man was the chairman of one party. The guy said, no, the will of God must be done. The will of God. The chairman said, will of God, okay. Now I bring envelope. Was it $10,000 or $20,000? $20,000. Now I give the pastor. Pastor said, follow me to the altar. He was the one preaching it to. He said, when I saw the seed, I told him, follow me to the altar. So, my God, he was the one that said, the will of God be done. Then when he saw the money, he said, follow me to the altar. And he was preaching that bring money, we will change the will of God for you. That was the preaching. $20,000, he changed his mind on the spot. Remember that joke that time? That guy said, he brought a bundle of US dollars. He said, pastor, this is my tithe. The pastor fell under the anointing. It was a joke. It was this comedian. Then the pastor got up and began to pray. So that man wanted to kneel down. He said, no, my son, you remain standing. I will be the one to kneel to pray for you. That is when you need courage. What did I say?
Courage.
Yes, that's what the Bible says. To speak the truth when you're broke and you let the offering go. That's when you need courage. Courage is not just to go out in battle. It's to stand for the truth. Even when. Now, I'm going to stop here because now, what you will now see reading further down, you see all the revivals that took place under Asa's watch. He even removed his own mother from the position of queen mother because she had made an image. Say, my mother, sorry. You can't hold, you can't hold any authority in this country. Why? You are leading the people astray. Let everybody fear. The Bible says, but the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was blameless. Remember, Israel was northern kingdom. He was king of Judah. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was blameless all his days. He brought into the house of God the dedicated things of his father and his own dedicated things, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no more war until the 25th year of Asa's reign. Now, I wanted to read from verse 6, chapter 16, but in trying to build up to it, we are where we are. So, thank God I didn't give that title at the beginning. So, now at least I have given Nigerian Christians who want to be electoral officers the warning of the Spirit. Seraphs have been deployed to watch over all of you. There are angels to watch over you for your safety. All right? You'll be safe. Say amen.
Amen.
But there are seraphs to watch over you for your holiness. Disobey them, you will be killed. Thank you for that, amen. Everybody silent on me now. Yeah, they will injure you. I'm warning you now. God has deployed seraphs to watch. They are manning your post with you. Why this is important is that you need encouragement to do right. Yes, now I've empowered you to do right. There are times you want to do wrong, you remember my words. And that prophetically the word has come forth. To preserve your own life alone, you will do what is right. Now, this principle applies to all of us. Like I said, when I was preaching at Pastor Levi's program, all right, last weekend, as a pastor, you don't need to make it. What did I say? And I said something, I will say it here. Okay, let me qualify it a bit. For certain reasons. I still mean it too. Most people who make it have to compromise divine plan. They have to. In fact, what I said, again, I'll still modify it a bit. In his program was that if you define make it the way people call make it, 100% of the times you have to compromise divine plan for you to enter it. 100% of the times. There's never a time that you won't compromise to enter into that make it thing. See, when you want to serve God, he's the one that determines your reward, not you. Yeah. Now, you can ask the Lord for anything. You know, see, there's something I have learned. In this life, I can ask God for anything. 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 The only thing is that you ask him for something does not guarantee you can handle it. Are you getting me? So you have to be careful. But there, you can imagine now, if Pastor Dami, okay, maybe he recruited Egbon Okemute to join him, and two of them decide to believe God for a private jet. Now, do you know that God can give it? He can give it before the end of the year. Dami, the way you're looking at me, say, oh God, let me believe God for other things first. But I'm using this as an example. And the two of them can come and testify how they packed one small Learjet or Gulfstream at our airport there. Yeah. But when it's now time to pay the pilot, they will return to the prayer place again. Two of them will join hands again. Kabbalah, we pay the pilot. We command the pilot paid. Then when it's time to buy fuel, you can't fly a plane by faith. You fly it by putting fuel. I know what I'm telling you. Then when it's time to pay the landing charges and the parking charges, they will go back to church again to start praying. Kabbalah, Nigeria Civil Aviation Authorities, we command you to have patience. In the name of Jesus, the money is coming. Now, let me ask you, do you think money will come eventually? No, it will not stop. Just wait. The money will come, right? There's only one problem. They don't have time to pray to preach. The sick, they have no time to pray for the sick. They have no time to raise the dead. They have no time for anything. The two of them, I just prayed day and night to sustain the aircraft. So some of the prayers they are praying now, God said, when you use this amount of energy on this thing, what energy are you using for the things I called you to do? I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's why we don't pray for everything. Not because God can't do it. We say, God, we'll be too... The faith investment is too much. So he said, this is the key. Seek first the kingdom. There are things I've given you to do. Use all your faith investment there. Then I will, by myself, be adding things to you as they are needed. The time I will add that plane to you, you will never have to pray for fuel. I will give you somebody else who will put your pilot on his payroll. You will never have to open your mouth to believe God for fuel. Most of us who drive cars, all right? Okay, let me use myself as an example. I have never in my life prayed before entering a filling station that will have money to pay them. Have you noticed? So that I will buy full tank or small tank. But as I'm going, Krabash Kaba, Father God, this ATM shall not be declined. If you know the kind of person I am, eh? The day I prayed that prayer, I parked that car. If I pray that prayer a second month, I sell it. I will be taking keke that does not need confession. I just pay the keke, I go my way. Now, somebody listening to me, when it's time to fly private, exactly what God will do for you. Yeah. You won't even think about aviation fuel. Oh, is it for sale? You didn't even know because you are just flying up and down. You will be able to afford it. You know what I'm saying, all of these things? So, there's no need to compromise for anything. Anything you need, ask God for it, he will give you. If he decides that he tells you to wait, it means it's not good for you now. But I won't supply all your needs, that will never happen. Well, I've taken so much of your time. Let's bow down our heads.
Let's thank you, Lord, and say, Father, we're grateful for sending your word to us today. I truly want us to thank the Lord. I believe there were various areas we were receiving instructions as individuals. I'd like you to thank the Lord for that area and say, Father, thank you for instructing me in this area. We're not pointing fingers to other people. Like Paul said to Timothy, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save. Is yourself that you're saving first before others. So we take this word first to ourselves. We're thanking God for those areas where the word has come to us. Thank the Lord. If you're in ministry and certain words came to you in that area, say, Father, I thank you for instructing me in this area. It could be you as a worker. You work in a firm. You're a teacher. A service provider. Somehow, the word of the Lord knows how to reach us as individual. I'd like us to pray and say, Father, thank you for this word, this particular one. Pastor said a number of things, but I believe there was a specific thing that, you know, there was a specific instruction or correction. Maybe even somebody was instructed, encouraged why the word came. Let's say, Father, we thank you. We are grateful. Now, I'd like you to begin to pray and ask that the Lord will help you. Yeah, remember as the one who creates the desire and also gives us the power. Let's ask and say to the Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. That every word, every instruction that I will obey. That I will obey every instruction. Sometimes we know what to do, but the power to do is not just there. And if we go to the Lord to ask for strength, I believe he will provide. Because he's more eager than you than is more, he wants you to obey. You think you are the one that truly wants to obey. The Lord wants you to obey. So let's ask for strength and say, Lord, strengthen me. Help me, help me, help me. When I'm faced with these decisions, Lord, I'm asking for help. I'm asking for help. I'm asking for help. You're the one walking in me and through me. Help me. That my decisions will be pleasing to you at all times. At all times. Father, we thank you. Thank you because we're blessed to hear these things. Thank you, Lord, because our ears do not reject correction. Thank you, Lord, because our hearts have accepted these words. We're grateful.